Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Reality Is. As always, it's Noor, and today we're talking about The Crown with my brother Raheel and my friend Sonia. Hi guys.
Hey.
Hey. How's it going?
Real, why you really got to work on your intros, because you don't know how to react when somebody I mean, I don't know. Are you happy?
Well, I mean, so the thing is,
myself.
I introduce myself like on a daily basis to different people, right? So I say hello to them and I'm very pleasant, but I'm not doing a performance. If this feels like there should be some sort of like performance, and I don't know what to do. Should I tap dance in? Is that a thing I should do?
It's an audio medium.
I know. Wait, what is that? Is that the Mario
music? That's the Mario music. You have been spending time with my kids. Yeah, I just, because I feel like when I introduce you, you're always like, you sound like I'm holding you hostage.
You kind of are.
Yeah, it's true. Well, guys, today we're talking about possibly one of the best episodes of The Crown ever.
Mm-hmm. Did I tell you or did I tell you?
You really did. You did. Yes, you did.
It's my favorite episode of The Crown, I think. Ever. So far. Ever, yeah. And I've watched ahead in the season, too.
Oh, you have?
Sorry.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but like I watched it by myself and then I watched it with my mom. And I said to her after this episode, I'm like, I hate to say it. It's all downhill from here.
Oh, yeah. You know, of the Crown episodes, the other episode of the Crown that I really loved was like a really dark one. And it was also around Edward, the abdicated king or whatever, mm-hmm. or the king who abdicated. It was the one where we find out that they're like Nazis.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one. That was a great one.
Yeah. He got some good episodes, that guy, that Nazi. So this episode is episode 3 of season 5 of The Crown. It's called Moo Moo, and it is all about the Fayeds, the El Fayeds. Sonia, so obviously it's all downhill from here on for you, but what did you love about this episode?
I just thought that, like, I can't even put into words. Like, it was just so good. It should have been its own. Every once in a while, The Crown does an episode that's like, this should have been its own standalone story. Like, told by Peter Morgan, but its own standalone story. And this was just so compelling on so many levels. Like, just strictly, like, the rise to power of Mohammed Al-Fayed, the dynamic between him and Sidney Johnson, the, like, crossing of paths in this, like, fortuitous way as people who were, like, literally, like, 2022 vision and being like, we all know how this works out in the long run. And then, like, all the dynamics on, like, the diaspora. Like, I feel like I'm using TikTok words, but it's, like, you know, like, as diasporic people, you know, like, just how the crown has, like, affected so many people from so many different cultures, and it just was just so compelling. Holy shit.
Yes,
I agree. Real, what about you?
So for me, you know, when I'm watching The Crown, and what I learned about you recently is that apparently you love British people and you're an Anglophile.
Yeah,
you.
Listen, it's complicated.
It's not complicated at all. But so, you know, anytime you're watching The Crown, you're steeped into like this hardcore British culture. And it's not even just British culture. It's like high-end aristocracy, right? Mm-hmm. And we know, like, in 2022, we know the full effects of that colonialism and basically, like, the condescension with which British people in general look down at the rest of the world, but specifically they look down upon it because they went around conquering people, right? Mm-hmm. And then just watching this brown man navigate his way through that, it kind of felt like, I don't know if there's been other episodes like this where you see like a common person. I don't remember if there's been something like that in the car. I mean, you know, from time to time, they showcase some characters that are outsiders or people that are working, but it's never been fully focused on somebody who isn't a part of a royal family. I don't think so. So seeing,
I would say the only other one would be that guy who like told the queen that she's fucking up and she needs to do better.
Oh yeah, the episode where like the guy broke into the queen's.
Oh no, I wasn't even. Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that one. But yes, also him. The one where like, he wrote like the article in the newspaper.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then that's why they shake people's hands without gloves now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And then so just to see that, to see how that's how that was the case in the 60s and the 70s, or you know, whenever Muhammad Al-Fayed came up. Right. And then to see, it's weird, man. Like you see him experience racism because what he's experiencing is absolutely fucked up. Like that stuff is fucked up. And then I was trying to think, like, do I think of Muhammad Fayed as a great person? Right. Obviously, the things that he's achieved in the world, you know, you would look at that and you'd say, OK, this is the sign of somebody who's a great person. But in actual, like in real life, Muhammad Fayed is a piece of shit, right? There's a lot of stuff.
Are some sexual assault allegations.
Yeah, exactly.
That are crazy. I'm like, how are you not in prison, sir?
Not even regular ones. Like, it's terrible. Particularly unique levels of sexual harassment.
It's terrible. Like, shoving money down people's buses. Come on, Mamu. Anyways. So that stuff, so I was thinking about that, and then also, but I'm also like, well, you know, he's a person who came up at a certain time when what he knew of greatness, like this is the only way that he knew how to achieve greatness, right? It's just, I have like the British blueprint, I have to follow this, this is how I get respect, because I think there's a point in which he said, he tells Sidney Johnson, like, you will help me become one of, like, the rarest thing, which is a British gentleman or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that part, of his story was, I don't know how to describe it. It was very interesting. It made me think of a lot of things. And then also just, it made me so angry. There's parts of this episode that made me so fucking angry. Just like watching it, like the fact that Sidney Johnson is this great man who does like so many great things. Like Like, I don't know how you describe a great person, but this is obviously somebody that worked very, very hard, right? He was a valet to the king, and we see him, and I don't want to get, because I'm sure we're going to go get into the show, but the fact that we see him standing, holding a tray for all of these, you know, basic-ass white people that are at this hotel in his old age, and he gets, like, they tell him to leave. You know what I mean? That stuff is so infuriating. So just watching all of that stuff, it made me just think of a lot of different things. That's the reason why I loved it.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things that like really I loved about this episode is that these are two, you know, people of color, a brown man and a black man, and they're navigating the world as people who have proximity to whiteness, but are actively reminded that they are far from white. That's like, you know, Sidney's working hard to, you know, prove, like, he's literally just doing his job, and he's been given an opportunity, and he's taking that opportunity on because he knows that that is his ladder up, right? But he's doing his job. And then you have Muhammad Al-Fayed, who is, you know, he has no problem with racism except for when the racism is towards him, which is like, how many people do we know that are like that? Brown people especially. So I loved all of those comparisons. I thought that there was so much like parallel in that, right?
On that bit, right? Like that brown on black racism, that's the part that I thought of a lot, right? So obviously Muhammad Fayed, you know, he's probably taking part in some of that racism because it's a learned thing, right? He sees how black people are treated in this world. So he's like, okay, this is how I'm going to this is how I'm going to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's sad because, like, you see that for, like, brown people in America today, right? This mm-hmm. is the conversation that we have all the time, right? We come to this country and we don't realize how much work has been done by black people for America to be a place where we can come and we can thrive, right? Mm-hmm. And we get right into, like, the express lane, and then we look down on black people, and that shit is infuriating. And watching it here again, we're really terrible. Cancel us. You know what? Somebody shut my mic off.
Oh my God. But you know what? Because you know what's crazy about that scene where, like, he first meets Sidney Johnson, like, to spoil basically the whole episode, mm-hmm. is, like, it's not that I don't think that he probably wasn't actually a little bit, like, anti-black racist, but it just felt, like, so clearly, like, I'm trying to impress these white people.
Yeah.
Like, right. You need to, we can't have him here because he, like, brings the whole property value down. Like, that, yeah. Like, yeah. That was what it was, like, it wasn't even, like, truly, like, superiority racism. It's, I want to look good to these white people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And there's another part of that, but, you know, we'll get into it when you get to that scene, because I'm sure you mm-hmm. want to get into that scene. There's another part that really, really upsets me.
I can't wait. So we start the episode in the 1940s in Alexandria, Egypt, and it's British occupied at that time, right? Yes. Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Assume, sure.
Sure, of course, what wasn't.
Right, exactly.
And we meet Mumu. It's Mohammed Al-Fayed, and he's, you know, he's playing soccer, and he is a Coke salesman. He sells soda on the streets. And
it's a Coke salesman.
Yeah, yeah. Don't just say Coke.
He had a very Coca-Cola. Different implication.
He's a Coke dealer.
He was a Coke dealer. Honestly, it makes sense.
He's a wholesale Coke dealer.
and you know, we see him just be fascinated as a young person by the English. We see that the Duke of Windsor and his wife Edward and Wallace Simpson visit Alexandria, and that's where we meet Sidney Johnson the first time. But we see that, like, initial sort of, like, from far interaction of Mohammed Al-Fayed and his, like, understanding of the English. And essentially, I mean, he thinks that the English are gods. Mm-hmm. He has a father who, you know, looks down on them, and he has the type of thinking that we all do now, which is that these are, like, colonizers. But to Mohammed Al-Fayed, they are gods, because they are the sign of what you are supposed to, all the things that you can accomplish in this world. And he wants to just emulate them as much as possible. We see who he married. And I thought this was really interesting, just because when I watched The Crown, I Googled the shit out of everything.
Oh, I wonder if you got the same fact that I got. I'm like,
mind was blown. Yeah. So he's married. We see him meet this beautiful woman named Samira Khashoggi, and she's, we see their wedding, and then we see her give birth to Dodi Al-Fayed. And I Googled it. And so they were only married for 2 years. She is the sister of a Saudi arms dealer named Adnan Khashoggi. And she is the aunt of Jamal Khashoggi, who was the journalist who was murdered by MBS.
Yes.
That family's got too much murder in it. Like, too many murders, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real. Do you know a lot about Jamal Khashoggi?
Well, I knew the fact that he was Adnan Khashoggi's nephew. Mm-hmm. Like, so that was a part of the storyline when he was still alive, right? Yeah. Because he was openly critical of the Saudis and stuff like that. And he was a big Washington Post reporter, so you'd read that stuff, right? And then, you know, there was always a conversation about, well, you know how his money how his family made money as well. Right. So that was always kind of a retort from, like, the Saudi side. Like, OK, well, you know, he's doing all this virtue signaling, but we know that his family made money from selling arms or whatever. So that was always part of the conversation. And in general, like, the Khashoggis, you know, they're obviously not royalty. Right. But they are very, very rich. And when you're very, very rich, you are a part of, you kind of swim in that sphere. Right. So when Jamal Khashoggi was, like, critical of MBS and stuff like that, you know, it's not just a Saudi citizen that is critical of the royal, it's kind of like, you know, rich people being critical of each other. Like, so there was like a almost like a family dynamic to that mm-hmm. to that story.
Mm-hmm. Like which the Gorgas versus Judices. Got it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. What, I think that
exactly
is
exactly what it's like.
That's the only appropriate comparison, I think. When we think about big families in the world, it's the Khashoggis, MBS, the Gorgas, and the Judices. I think that's it.
Wait, this reminds me about the Bravo connection mm-hmm. To this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a recap for another podcast, about an episode of Being Bobby Brown, and Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown went to England in that particular episode, and they went to Harrods and like hung out with Mohammed Al-Fayed. And when I tell you, he was in love with her, like he was like, slipping her notes on the side, like whenever you're ready to leave him, like I could change your life. He was in love with Whitney Houston.
Now, I don't know if I should tell you guys another fact, but you know who was like a huge Whitney Houston fan who had her pictures all over the place?
Isn't it Osama bin Laden?
That is correct. It was Osama bin Laden.
I've heard that.
Osama bin Laden used to complain to like one of the women that he sadly had as his concubine or whatever. He used to complain to her about Bobby Brown. Like, he's not treating Whitney Houston.
Honestly, like, what? Whitney Houston just had this effect on, like, non-American men. Like, truly. Well, because there was somebody else, too. Well, there's, like, that famous interview where she's, like, getting really sexually harassed by that French journalist. So it's just, like, what power did Whitney Houston have outside of, like, American soil? Like, everybody wanted to marry her.
That is fascinating. Oh my god. Also, it paints his racism in a different light. I'm like, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah, gross.
Yeah, sometimes that's how it goes, honestly. Yeah. That's how it goes. Oh boy.
You know, I think going back to this idea that, like, you know, the Khashoggis weren't royalty, but they had a lot of money. And I wonder, like, because obviously it's not touched on here at all, but a lot of, I'm sure, Al-Fayed's, like, fascination. And I mean, I'm just trying to understand it because of people's fascination with the royal family and especially, like, brown people's. Like, even when, you know, the queen died and stuff, there were, like, people in, like, India and Pakistan who were, like, genuinely sad. And I was like, why? I don't get it. But it is this thing of like they are, even though they did all these terrible things, they are this like miracle to behold of a family who like was able to get so much and is just like the obsession with like wealth and power and all of those things. So I wonder if some of that also maybe dictated his like obsession with the royals was that like, you're never going to become like a Saudi royal, right? You're never going to get that kind of access, even though you're married to this extremely wealthy woman in the Saudi like society. But, you know, he was like, well, fuck those guys. I'm going to go even higher. I'm going to go to the whites and I'm going to marry them or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to penetrate those societies. So I find it really
just the power play, right? Like the white power is the most powerful. Like exactly. why be brown powerful when you could be white exactly. powerful?
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing, right? I mean, sadly, it is just that. It's like, okay, this is the ultimate. Like, first of all, it's white, and then it's not just white. It's, like, the British royal family. It doesn't get higher than that in this fucked up world.
I mean, I loved when the dad was, like, reading him. Like, his dad saw exactly who the hell he was. And he was like, you know, well, I mean, like, I love that we're talking like this really happened. This is how I'm going to talk through the whole thing, by the way. That it was just like, look, I hate those British people, but you know who I hate more? Brown people who think that, like, this is it. Like saw in his son's face, like, you're one of those.
Yeah.
That shit out. And look how it worked out. So
I mean, I was shocked to hear that Mohammed Al-Fayed is with us.
Oh my god, so old. And still married to Haney.
Haney, yes.
Exactly.
Which I tried to Google her and I was like, where are the pictures of her? And it was all just pictures of their like vegan influencer daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. Camila, is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So we go to 1979. Fast forward. The Al-Fayeds have some money. They got money. And Dodie is, guys, I don't know.
Kinda,
I thought he was kind of cute.
He's kind of cute. Even with that weird mustache and his all the way back hairline. Kind of cute.
All the way back hairline. Poor guy hasn't been with us for the last 25 years.
I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what to do. Like,
Dodie in real life, I was looking at his pictures, he was a good looking dude. Like, you know, obviously he used to go around with like starlets and stuff like that, and I'm sure a big part of that was how much money he had, but he was a good looking guy. He wasn't bad looking.
Yeah,
his Wikipedia picture has like a picture of him with his hands under his chin.
He's not the angel baby, like he's like a toddler in
like a toddler on like a Christmas Sears portrait studio picture. It's
very
cute. Who would
laugh at that? Like, it's a very adorable picture, but it's like giving like Sears portrait studio.
It's the most adorable picture I've ever seen of an adult man. It's rest his soul. Okay.
And they've got so many good ones. He's got like, I've got his, now I, because now you made me Google it. Like, he's got like his 90s R&B cover up here. Like, yeah, basically in this yellow jacket. Like, he looks like, he looks like he's releasing an R&B album. Like, God bless, but good for Diana, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, good for her. So this is where Mohamed El-Fayed, he's got his sights set on Europe. Okay, he goes to France, and he wants to rescue the Ritz, where he is met with a little bit of racism, but he, you know, like, he speaks in a different language and intimidates those French. And
okay, I wanted to get, like, other opinions on that, because... Mm-hmm. Like, clearly he could have communicated with them, but, like, chose not to.
It's a power play.
That, like, a power, yeah, that was a power play.
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
we
I
can do that right now. You were talking to them?
No, I don't. But I feel like that's the thing. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I've maybe heard, like, a comedian talk about it, or just, like, brown people, brown guys that I know. But they're always, like, there's nothing, like, sexy about South Asians speaking in Urdu or Hindi. Like, we're just, I don't think our power plays work that well. I feel like with Arabic, there's still, like, some, like, you know, like, bravado to it. Whereas, like, with us, people are just like, come on.
No, but that's because you're not Arab, so you are looking at it that way.
That's true.
But wait until you get to episode 7. We'll get all into that when the good doctor.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna look forward to listening to that episode.
So it's a he takes the Ritz. He buys the Ritz and was in Paris or something. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. It's the opening night there, and that's where we learn that he is, you know, very racist, and he wants a white person. He wants a white woman.
He wants the whitest lady he can find. Like, literally the second, like, he, like, Dodie, like, turns to his dad, he's like, she's from Finland, and he's like, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
The whitest.
That's the part that pissed me off the most. And it's not, so there's, it's like, it's a little bit complicated, because obviously the racism against Sidney Johnson is disgusting and gross and all that stuff. But it comes right on the heels of him describing, what's her name? Heine? However you say it. Heine, right? He describes her as like the perfect creature, right?
Yes.
And there's something about, now I don't know what I think about it, but there's something about the hyper fetishizing of white women by brown men. I don't know what it is, but I know it's not nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I've been a brown man my entire life, but it's something that exists, and it's not okay. It's fucked up. It's obviously, it's fucked up in general, but it's not, I don't know what to say about it.
I mean, I am the product of that happening among black men, so, you know.
Your dad did it!
My mom's not like white. My mom's like spicy white. She's like Italian Jewish. So it depends on who you ask. Or like Long Island, that's a get. But like, you know, for Mohamed El-Fayed, she's probably too ethnic, too close to being ethnic.
Yeah. I mean, I think, Rahil, what you're describing about brown men's obsession with white people is, you know, it's just like why South Asian women experience like massive amounts of colorism within their community. Yeah. By everybody. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that that's what you're probably sensing. And it's all rooted in white supremacy.
Surprise! So here's the thing, right? I can blame white supremacy, right? And it is, I'm sure it's a part of colonialism, blah, 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 we learn of. But it's not just white supremacy. Hey, we are blah, pieces blah, blah. Of shit.
Oh, yeah.
No, we are pieces of shit. Like, anybody who does that is a piece of shit that, that places it that far. That
you guys are being, like, way too hard on yourself when there are so many powerful white people to hate, like, in this moment, like, in this particular context. Like, you guys are being way too hard on yourselves.
We just want better for ourselves, I think. Let's just embrace the browner people, okay? Embrace each other. I think it's interesting because, like, it's until Dodi tells him, by the way, that was the valet to the king, the king who abdicated his throne or whatever, to Edward, suddenly he has an interest, right? Until that moment, to him, to Muhammad al-Fayed, that's just a black man who's bringing his value down, like you said.
Which, side note, he pulled a Trump in that moment, because I don't know if, like, famously the Trump Hotel got sued, like, some Trump hotels got sued because, like, when Donald and I think it was Ivana, like, would come around, like, they had to pull the black people from the floor to not be seen by them. So I, like, that's what was playing in my head the whole time too. But side note, did it, like, make you a little sad? I mean, a lot of this is depressing, but, like, the idea that he was, like, this great valet for, like, so long, and then was just, like, holding out champagnes at the opening of a hotel, like, that is depressing as hell.
Yeah, it's sad. It's infuriating. Like, that's not where he should be. Right. And it's not only is he overqualified for that job, right, but he gets fired from that job. Yeah. And all he's doing is just standing there. It's like the saddest thing in the world.
Yeah. Which, like, again, it's one of those things of, like, your proximity to whiteness can only get you so far, because once that's gone, you're still a black person in this world who is part in a very racist world. So this meeting happens with Sidney Johnson and Muhammad al-Fayed, and Muhammad al-Fayed figures out that this is his way to penetrate British society. I love a montage. I love a montage.
That was, like, a makeover montage, was it not?
He got his Princess Diaries makeover.
He did. That was delightful.
It was. Now, I know I need to hate Muhammad Fayed because he deserves to be hated, but there was a little joke that he made in the middle. It was kind of cute when he goes Valley of the King, because he calls him a valet of the king, and he goes Valley of the King, and then he goes, it's an Egyptian joke because of the Valley of the King in Egypt. All right.
Oh, that's true.
I was, like, just nodding along to that joke, like, right, it's an Egyptian thing for sure, whatever that means. Yes, it's not for me to understand. But that, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Rahil, did you learn anything from the valet makeover? Anything that you'd like to include in your day-to-day?
Anything that I'd like to apply to myself?
Yeah.
Because I have a problem. I have all black socks for working out. But they're different brands, and I never seem to be able to find them. So maybe rolling them up is the way to go.
But you're not organizing your socks that way? Were we not raised in the same house? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. My closet is a disaster.
Oh, God.
But other than that, no, I'm not interested. Who has the time, man? Who has the time to get up? Who had to get
that? A valet.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
That's the key. You got to have a valet.
It's a valet. Like, is this just a very, like, British thing? Because I've only seen this on The Crown, and I've only seen it on Downton Abbey and, like, those types of shows. I've never seen it in any. It's not an American thing, right, at all?
What was Farnsworth Bentley? What role did he play for Diddy?
A pop culture icon?
True. No, but, like, technically, if you look at what, like, a valet, I guess technically, yeah, he was. But it's just, like, not an American concept because we don't have royalty like that.
Yeah. Because, like, I'm even thinking about, like, the Gilded Age. Even the Gilded Age doesn't have, like, I guess they do have, like, hand ladies or, like, ladies of the lady or whatever they're called. Ladies of the Lady.
Ladies of the Lady.
Like people who help them get dressed and stuff. I don't know. I feel like, you know, like when I don't do well with getting that kind of assistance. Like whenever we go to like Pakistan, in Pakistan, everybody's house has like multiple people working there and they will just like do stuff for you. And Raheel and I like want to throw ourselves out the window. We're like, please, God, no.
That sounds very stressful.
Yeah, yeah. Let us put the dishes in the sink ourselves. Like I got it. I can get my own water. It's not a big deal. That whole thing, like it makes me very sad just even to watch it, to like watch a person have to, you know, like be like, what is it, like serve them like hand
subjugated,
and feet.
Yeah,
like subjugated in that situation. But it was interesting to see that whole dynamic too, because it's like it made me sad, because it's like Muhammad Al-Fayed is obviously using this man to get ahead and, you know, like to use him in some way to penetrate British society, like I said. But like it broke my heart because Sidney Johnson also seemed like happy to do it, because like this is the life that was now available for him. And that
you know what's wild is like I think about, because this is not at all the same, and I'm not just bringing up Bravo because this is normally a Bravo podcast, but like I used to think that a lot about Michael on Southern Charm, where I'd be like, I guess I just don't understand. Like, I mean, like, I guess, sure, there is like a lot of pride you can take in serving and in like having this kind of knowledge, but there is something kind of sad about it, that like you devote your waking hours to serving somebody else. Like that is your whole, especially like when you're Sidney Johnson level, like you are a professional, like your life is to serve them. Like that's a mind fuck.
It is. I don't know. I hate it.
It's very sad.
It is really sad. I would love.
Sorry if that's like your job and you're like listening to this during your like time.
I'd like to
apologize to Sir Farnsworth Bentley.
You called him seven different names. Farnsworth.
Is that his name?
What's
his
name? Farnsworth, I think.
Farnsworth? There's no R there?
No.
That's like
the... I was going to say, what's that? This is a Mandela effect moment. Like, we all have a different idea of what his name is.
What's he up to? Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe wherever you are. I'm afraid
to find out.
Yeah, I probably not listening to this podcast. So we have the scene where, you know, he's just trying to get as close to the queen as possible. So they go to dressage, is it called? The horse thing?
Oh, yeah, that is the fancy horse thing.
Yeah, what did they do there? They just trot the horse around, right? They're like,
look at that. And the horses do the little jumpies. I think dressage is different.
I don't even think they jump them there. I think it's just like little trots.
Is it the horse dancing? That's what Mitt Romney's wife used to do, I think. Mitt Romney had a dressage. Yeah. I think she's at the Olympics. Because Bruce's daughter does some equestrian stuff, but I think she's actually serious. So
she's not just like going around and like trotting a horse around. Yeah. Well, because you know the queen loves that. We've seen that so far. She fucking loves those horses.
She loves a horse event.
Horsies.
She loves a horse event. She's a horse girl. She is a horse girl. Queen Elizabeth was a horse girl. Pass it on. Right.
Yeah, but this is where Muhammad Al-Fayed finds out that if the guy that owns Harrods, he gets to sit next to the queen, and then he's like, well, guess I'm gonna buy fucking Harrods.
Well, first we gotta talk about the fact that like this is the one where they're almost denied being I cannot believe a group of white people did such a good job breaking down like white supremacist problems, you know what I mean? Yes, like white patriarchy problems, where it's like Muhammad Al-Fayed is getting questioned, like, oh, like, are you really supposed to be here? Like, it's for ticket, like, whatever. But also, Sidney Johnson is getting straight up told, like, get out of the way, belong here. Like, the levels to the racism, perfect, like, that was like a perfect metaphor for that.
Yeah,
there was that, and then the third thing about it was that you can see Muhammad Al-Fayed gets in and he's all happy about it, and he does not give a shit about Sidney Johnson being left in the back. Like, he's just looking forward. All he's looking forward is like the whiteness. You know, Sidney Johnson can go fuck himself as far as he's concerned.
God damn it.
You're the worst, man. You know, I'm going to include Muhammad Al-Fayed into me. No, no. I am the worst. I am the problem.
Like Taylor says. The fact that, like, in that they're like, while all the questioning is happening, like, white folks are just like, white men are just like, those gentlemen are just allowed to just like stroll past.
Yeah, them. Like, no, there's problem. No questions about if they have their passes correct or any of that. Like, mm-hmm. It's just get out of the way.
Yeah.
Like, non-white people. This is terrible.
It is terrible.
Racism is bad, you guys.
I guess it's hot take corner now. Racism is bad.
Ooh, I hope I don't lose you, listeners. I know that this is a really non-controversial podcast and you really don't like it to get to issues of race, but you know, I had to take it there. I'm sorry.
Well. It's okay. I've had somebody leave a very lengthy review on the podcast that's like, this person is always talking about how white people are the problem. And I was like, how did you find me?
But also, like, if you didn't want to risk hearing that, listen to the 500 other Bravo podcasts hosted by white people.
Yes. Like,
come on.
Exactly.
Oh, so, please.
So now that Muhammad Al-Fayed, Mumu wants to buy Harrods, he's like, you know, gathering his people. He's like, guys, we're going to buy Harrods. It's going to be fucking amazing. And Dodi's like,
it's going to be so great, you guys. Spend $600 million, £600 million, just make it happen. Okay? Thanks. Love ya. Bye.
I love his friends that are there, who apparently, I guess, were his brothers, are there. They're like, okay, whatever. Whatever, Mumu. Like, look at Mumu and his crazy fucking plans. They just look at each other. They have that they look at each other the way me and Raheel look at each other on, like, at family gatherings when our brother is like saying something. We're like, all right. Whatever. But this is where Dodie's like, hey, Dad, what about me? What about what I want? I want to make movies.
What's that line from Varsity Blues? It's like, I don't want your life. Yeah. That's like the British version of that.
Yeah. Owning Harrods may have been the opportunity of your life, but I don't want your life.
I don't want your life.
They really missed out. James Van Der Beek should have played Dodie.
I was gonna make another hairline joke, but I'll leave it alone. Far back
hairline. So then Dodie has Daddy visit the Chariots of Fire set, and I just love this scene because
he's immediately anti-Semitic, by the way.
Immediately anti-Semitic. And then Muhammad Al-Fayed goes, this is a film set, where are the girls?
Oh my god!
Did you know that he produced Chariots of Fire? I did not know that.
I didn't know that. I've also never seen
that.
Yeah.
Look at you, Mr. IMDb over here.
Yeah. I'm a big Dodie fan. No, it was part of the story when he died. Like, that's how you knew
him. Like, oh, I thought also because you love a sports movie.
You know, Chariots of Fire really isn't enough. Great sports movie.
Oh, wow. Well,
it's like, more of an inspirational story.
That was like Best Picture it won, right? Like, they didn't really go into the award. I don't know. I was like,
yeah, it won Best Picture.
Okay.
I think 1984.
Yeah. I had to do a lot of Googling while that was happening. I was like, which one were you rooting for? I don't know.
Well, I was like, because I saw like them running on the beach. I'm like, this is like a thing. This is like a cultural reference. Yeah,
you know what the thing is? It's the music. The Chariots of Fire music is what you know.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun,
right.
Dun.
When I was like watching it today to take notes, like my husband was watching with me and he hadn't watched in the other two times I watched it. And he's like, oh, it's the one with the music. Like before he got to the name of the movie, he was like, the one, dun, 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 dun. Yes. And I'm like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. 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 But also immediately anti-Semitic. Immediately. But I was like, hey, that's great of Dodie to be like, listen, knock it off, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clock the anti-Semitism at the door, please. Knock it off.
Breaking generational curses or whatever.
Yeah. You know, and also it turns out like Dodie was actually super close to his mom. Like,
aww.
Yeah. As per Google and Wikipedia. But apparently she died in the 80s and he was like really, really close to her even when Muhammad Al-Fayed was out there just trying to catch white ladies.
The brown dad-son relationship was sweet. It was, you know, like there was that moment when Muhammad Al-Fayed is like, well, this, none of this money is yours. This money is something that I've created or I've made. And then Dodi tells him, well, why would you take my legs out from under me, right? That, it was sweet. I did enjoy their relation, and I'm sad knowing where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And then I was also pissed off that I'm being forced to feel a certain way about Muhammad Al-Fayed when I know he's a real-life piece of shit. But
they really, like, assumed that, like, the audience knew nothing and ran with it. And yeah. We didn't. And I was like, If I couldn't tell from that Whitney Houston interaction that he was kind of a creep, I would have like bought it to be like, wow, this man loves his son so much that he's really just committed to this conspiracy theory.
Yeah, so sweet.
So he buys Harrods, and you know they win an Oscar and everything's great. But then Sidney Johnson does tell him that Wallace Simpson has died, and it's very sad. Sydney, this is when Sydney starts to show up in scenes with a cough. And I was like, oh no, not a cough.
You die from getting murdered or coughing disease in the show. Like, so many, like a cough. I love that, like, the cough is like the automatic signal that somebody's gonna die on this show.
You might as well just get stabbed in the neck if you're getting a cough on screen.
They didn't do that, like, scene that they've done multiple times throughout the series where somebody coughs into a handkerchief and pulls it away and then there's blood there. Like, where was the blood cough? But anyway, continue.
That's actually, like, I feel like real, that's like such a Bollywood thing. Like, in Bollywood movies, that happens all the time where what person coughs once, there's immediately blood on a handkerchief, and then you're like, tomorrow they're dead.
We learned it from the whites. We learned it from white media.
My guess is that the Brits did it first.
We didn't have bloody coughs before the Brits showed up in India.
My mic did a weird thing in Italian. Like, he said, we didn't have bloody cocks. And I was like, oh my God.
That too. King Henry VIII had syphilis, and that's how he came to India.
It's probably accurate.
Yeah, don't Google that. Don't Google bloody cocks, please.
At least not without incognito mode.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We're not here to kink shame anyone.
Yeah. Protect yourself.
Oh, that's true, too.
Yeah, that's true. Well, so he's unwell. Sidney Johnson is unwell because of the coughing and such, and also because of the death of Wallace Simpson. He's feeling a lot of feelings. Muhammad Al-Fayed makes him tea. And this is where I feel like, do you think that Muhammad Al-Fayed actually cares about Sidney Johnson?
I think he pulled the "you're one of the good ones." Like, you know...
So the character on this show definitely does, right?
Yes.
But I don't know if Muhammad Al-Fayed actually cares. Like, it makes a nice story, obviously, right? It's like, oh, okay, nice, there was growth or whatever. But fucking, it should have never gotten to that. Like, you know, you shouldn't be a person who's like, I don't know, however old he is in 1979 or whatever, and still be that racist. Like, you shouldn't need, like, this miracle to happen for you to be okay with this one black person. You know what I mean?
And Whitney Houston.
Oh, and Whitney Houston, obviously.
Yeah. So this is when Muhammad decides that he is going to buy and restore the former home of the former, what does it call it? The former residence of Wallace Simpson and the Duke of Windsor. And he calls it Villa Windsor. He's
so
super
tacky.
Excited.
Like, it's just so like, I feel like you could tell that they really drove that point home to be like, we got it.
It's and tacky. Another montage. I love a makeover montage for
I
House,
do.
Too.
For House.
I was like, we're spit shining, we're sewing, we're doing everything. I loved it.
Do you prefer a wardrobe makeover, or do you prefer a house makeover montage?
Oh. Ooh.
Honestly, the carriage makeover from last week was really
that was sexy. I got a little turned on. All that leather, and it's like tightly. You can almost hear the leather just extending.
Yeah. The welder is like making like wheels.
That's the sound of them trying to cover up that he was fucking that lady.
Yes. Thank you.
Like, I tried to Google it, and they're like, they were just really good friends. And I'm like, no, they weren't.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Because you know what? I feel like if Prince Philip was anything like the way Matt Smith showed him to be in the early years of the show, I'm like, man, I could see why somebody would get easily seduced by this man.
But like, the worst part is, I was like, it's probably at the very least, like, what are you going to say no to Prince Philip? And I don't mean that like in an attractive, like, I mean that in like a threatening way. Yes. Like, what is she going to do if he wants to pursue her?
Yeah.
Like, yikes.
Especially if he shows up with that horse whip. you've seen it, but it comes up again later in the season. I really liked that episode also.
Teasers. Ooh. I appreciate this. So this is, really your question. I believe that I'm into a more of a home makeover. I'm more of an HGTV girl than like a TLC what not to wear girl.
No, I get that. In movies, I mean.
Oh.
In movies,
I feel like in movies, the makeover is typically a sexist trope.
Yes. Yeah.
Except like Crazy Rich Asians, where it's like necessary.
But
like, I don't know. Yeah. No, I think I'm a home makeover person in movies too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. So he's super proud. He's so excited about his reno. He is, you know, he wants to get the queen out there. He invites her out.
Yeah, like he straight up says, like, this will be the thing. She'll love me now.
Yes, it's so pathetic. It's so pathetic. And I love that the queen is like, hey, they have a bunch of our shit and we want it back. And I was like, what? That's crazy. I feel like there's so many people in the world that could say the same to you.
But what's crazy is like she didn't even want it back. Like she was willing to let it go until they were like, they got the Nazi letters. I guess technically, like, let them ship it, like, you know, 5 to 7 business weeks. And then they were like, remember how he was a Nazi and we've worked really hard for nobody else to know that? Oh, you might want to sort this out.
Yeah.
I love that scene. I love that scene because of what it says. Again, just thinking about, like, the British coming in and colonizing all of our lands or whatever. There are people in India and Pakistan that were Rajas, right? Or Rajas, right?
Yeah.
That would kind of pay tax to the British and they would still get to hold their seat. And their subjects would have to pay money to England, which is crazy, right? So that's what I was thinking of when that happened, because the queen, first of all, doesn't even fucking show up, right? Her guy shows up, they come in, they ransack the house, they steal all the valuables from the house, and then they make it seem like they're actually doing him a favor. Mm. And like, the thing is like, he knows it's an insult. Sidney Johnson obviously knows it's an insult. He points it out. And for Mohammed Al-Fayed, like, he knows it's an insult, but the insult is enough because it's an acknowledgement from the queen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just, again, infuriating, but.
Yeah, it's like one of those, like, you insulted me, but what an honor to be insulted by the queen
person. Yeah, because it's an acknowledgement of your existence in a way.
Right. She was, like, she cared enough to send somebody.
I believe Mohammed is, I should say Mohammed Fayed. Yeah. I just want to stop at Mohammed. Mohammed Fayed in this scene is what they call a simp. Is that what the kids call a simp? Is he simping?
I think so. He's simping for the queen.
He's simping for the queen. Simping hard.
You guys, I just learned that term. I didn't know what they meant when they would say simp, the people, the youth.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what most of these things mean. But yeah, he's very happy. He's just happy to make the queen happy, even if it just makes her annoyed. Sidney Johnson unfortunately dies. It's very sad. We see this, the grave site, and I thought about something interesting, which is like he goes, you know, he has that like the tombstone says, you know, valet to the king. I think to myself, like, Dodi made a point of that, obviously, to like honor what his work was. But I think it's also just to say, I got to have a personal valet who was also the valet of the former king of England, or the almost king of England.
He was open about that from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole point of...
Like, I think that, like, having a valet wasn't enough. It's the idea, like, because he was so hung up on the fact that he was king, and as many times as people tried to correct him, be like, well, he was king for, like, 5 minutes, don't...
Yeah, 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 yeah.
don't get too exactly. high on yourself. But he was like, no, he was king for a period. That's enough for me. And yeah. that's all it is.
Yeah. Yep. So finally, we see we see Muhammad Al-Fayed back at the dressage event, very excited. He's got that Herod seat. He wants to sit next to the queen. The queen is like, ugh, but Porchy's here. So
I don't know why, like, because the Porchy episodes are like some of the worst.
Yeah.
That I was just like, I really don't want to see an old Porchy. Please don't drag out this storyline. I don't care. Like, I don't know why, like, my immediate visceral reaction was like, I don't want to see an old Porchy.
Who's Porchy again?
Her best friend.
Her little horse friend.
Her little horse friend, you know. Remember? Yeah, and then Matt Smith thought that she was having an affair with Porchy.
That's wild. Like, that's so embarrassing. Like, he was having affairs with, like, ballerinas and, like, you know, yeah. women, like, hot, like, you know, hula women. And, like, she's fucking, she may or may not have been fucking her little horse friend.
Like, the best, you're the queen of fucking England, and the only guy that you can get is, like, your childhood friend who also liked to play with, like, My Little Ponies with you.
Like, fat and balding, too. Just, like, like, early.
Yeah.
Just... not a good look.
No. So the queen doesn't sit there, but she sends Diana to do that. And this is where we see Diana have her fateful interaction with the Al-Fayeds. And guys, okay. I'm not going to lie. For some reason, this entire this interaction, this dialogue between them, why did I have tears in my eyes?
I'm very much with you, because first of all, there were two moments during this episode that I like audibly gasped. Now, for the audience at home, I have a 3.5-month-old, so I'm still in, like, chaos brain. And I was not, like, paying attention in the intro segment. So, like, when he introduced himself as Muhammad Al-Fayed, I, like, guess I missed that. So then when I'm just like, oh, okay, they're doing something that's probably going to be about, like, some conflict about somebody wanting to not be under British rule anymore. Like, I'm just, like, not paying attention. And then when he's doing the, like, looking at the baby and he's like, but I will call you Dodie, I literally went... and like the same thing. So when they sent Diana over, I literally had the same reaction. And I was like, it was so cute. It just really like showed that like Diana could get along with anybody.
Yeah.
Like all that warmth and shit that people talk about all the time and that they loved her for, like, was perfectly on display. By the way, that whole scene where she's going through the bag, that was improv.
That was improv?
They were supposed to cut it after, like, a certain point, and, like, her going through the bag was just, like, Elizabeth Debicki spitballing, and then...
She's the best.
So good. She's so good in this. Oh!
That entire interaction, it was, like, electric. Because just the two of them talking, for some reason, it almost felt like, I don't know, like, Batman and Superman meeting when they were, like, teenagers or something like that. You know what I mean? Because you know where it's gonna go. And then you just see these two people having this interaction, and you just know everything that's going to happen afterwards. And it's like you're watching the origin story. And Diana, in that moment, she's just so fucking charming, man. It's like sad and it's funny. And then I'm like getting upset, a little bit upset at her, because she's like making a little joke of like the exoticness of it all. You know? Yeah. And then I remember that I have a friend named Ahmed Ahmed. So I was like, all right, I get it. So it is a real thing.
Yeah.
But it's because there's like no music either, right? It's just the two of them talking, and then Dodie looks over and you're just like, oh man.
Yeah.
Well, like, Dodie, look away.
Right.
Go back to your friends, Dodie.
Stay with that other white girl, Dodie. but like it just was the idea that like, and then like having like Elizabeth and Margaret like pat themselves on the back, and then like that was like an added layer of like,
She says something about, like, out of a simple kindness, a tree of happiness. I'm like, bitch, what's the kindness? Where's the kindness? He paid £600 million to have this seat.
Company. Right, like, and not to mention how much he paid for the event itself. Yeah. Like, it's like an ongoing investment all for you. And she's just like, look at me with my good deed for the day.
yeah, she was like,
I had off my back and I got him off my back, like, a win. But
Yeah. And so I think this is also, this scene is taking place, or this moment is taking place before the last episode, which, because the end of the last episode was where Diana has that tell-all book come out and it's like full on war. And then this
feels like it's the '80s, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it's the '80s.
I don't think, no, I think
it's early '90s.
I think it must end in the early '90s. I feel like to bring it to like modern times. I think otherwise, if it was earlier, they would have put it, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. God. Just destroyed me. Like,
I know. Like, why was it so? Like, I guess because you really know what's coming. Like, you feel that the whole episode, and then you like actually see it cemented and know that it's all downhill from here.
It's like a different kind of anxiety than like Game of Thrones, right? Like, where Game of Thrones anxiety is like anybody could die at any moment, and I'm just anxious the whole time. Like, this is like a different one where I'm like, it's like I already know what's going to happen to these people, and now I'm enjoying watching these people, and I know that they're going to die. I know these terrible things are going to happen, but now I'm emotionally invested in this stupid, silly scene with Diana and Mumu.
Yeah. Destroyed it was so me. Great. Like, give Salim Dow the Emmy now, honestly, because he killed it for this episode alone. Like, I would not be shocked if he gets an Emmy for this.
Yeah. And he, like, you know, I mean, I felt like it was a great depiction of like a very fancy Arab man. Like, I was like, I know that guy. Like, I've met that man before. Not somebody rich, but you know.
He's an uncle. We know a lot of those uncles.
Yeah. Yeah. I just loved it. Do you guys have any other thoughts about this episode?
Okay. Do either of you listen to You're Wrong About by any chance, the podcast You're Wrong About?
I've only just a little bit, just out.
So I have like a theory, like a fan theory, that like the writers of this particular episode are fans of You're Wrong About, because there was like a running joke through the Princess Diana episodes that like her stepmother, Lady Rain, they used to call her Rain Legs, like during the course of the show, not like during the course of the podcast. And when they said, like, do you know her nickname? I yelled out, Rain Legs! And they were like, Acid Rain. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, also I was like, wow, Diana, you hated your stepmother too. Like,
oh, she pushed her down the stairs one time.
Yeah.
Like, she fucking hated her.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, she real hated her.
Do you think that Diana, like, oh, so this is something we were talking about before. Do you think, Sonia, that like Diana, if she was alive today, would be beloved the same way as we cared about her, I guess, at this time when, you know, at the time that she died? Or do you think that by now in 2022 world, Diana would have done something to like have a fall from grace, or like people would not like her because of her association with, you know, the English monarchy?
I think that we still would have. Like, I feel like she would be one of those like wholesome icon, like Dolly Parton type figures where, you know, like, oh, she's just so committed to goodness. Like, I think she would have had like one or two occasional, because like, you know, I was 8 when she died. So like, and I was just like, that was like, I was like learning about her while like learning that she died. So like all of what I know about her is kind of through a past tense lens. And it was only like relatively recently that I learned that like she was annoying. Like, she's always so deified that like, like I saw, like I was watching a like one of those like documentaries on Netflix, and they were like kind of just like kept hitting on the fact that she was kind of dumb and kind of annoying. And like listening to, I think, a podcast on George Michael, and like he was friends with her for a while, but she was too needy, so we like ghosted her as friends. Like, you know, like I feel like she would have done stuff that was kind of annoying after a while, but like she seemed sincere enough in like what she was doing for other people.
When you watch the rest of the season, that is a thought that comes up, like, you know, when she visits the hospital, because there's two sides of it, right? Because there's one side which is, I think she genuinely enjoyed talking to people, like she genuinely enjoyed being a charitable person, like the common people. But also, I think, I mean, I don't know how you develop a personality, right, in that, like, stepping into that establishment at 19 and then just being completely covered, right? I think the last episode, when her friend asks her, the guy who's like the go-between between her and Andrew Morton. He's like, you know, can we talk to your friends? Yeah, can we talk to your friends? And her friends are like her her acupuncturist, right? Yeah. It's not really a friend. That's somebody that works for you. You know, it's just people that
she's like Erica Jane.
I was gonna say like Kylie Jenner. no friends, just staff.
Yeah, just employees.
Like no friends, only staff. Yeah, which is sad, but my God, they did her so dirty. It's so fucked up. And then like Charles, you'll see, like Charles gets a little bit of a redemption arc this season in a way that feels
so angry.
It feels very like, look, guys, we're stuck with him. Like we got, like it felt. I don't know, like, especially last season, they, like, worked so hard to make us, like, all the good PR that, like, Charles and Camilla had been getting, like, where we all kind of, I don't know, I felt like a lot of people had gotten to a point where it's like, you know, it worked out, like, you know, let's let them live.
Yeah.
They seem fine now, but, like, the crown last season undid all of that good favor. Yeah. Like I feel like this is like, okay, look, we might have gone a little too far last season. We're going to be stuck with him regardless. Like, let's try to make the best of it.
Yeah, I mean, how many years do we have with him? How old is he now?
I know.
Is he in his 80s?
No, he's in his 70s.
Early 70s. Oh. Early mid 70s. I think he just had a birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Gross. It's in time for Tampax. Did you see that Tampax tweet today?
Oh. No.
You haven't watched the episode yet.
Well, no, I mean, you've heard of that happening, right? Like the Tampax. Never mind.
No.
Pretend I didn't say anything.
Oh my God.
No, you gotta watch the episode.
Yeah.
All right. I can't wait.
I can't believe you don't know about this. That's, oh yeah. Ugh, gross.
Well, guys, that's what we call a teaser in the industry. Sonia, this was amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I had a great time. And this episode is going to come out on Thanksgiving. So I hope everybody has a lovely Thanksgiving.
Yeah, escape your families with us.
Yeah.
Yes. You have to go back to them now. Hope you find another podcast to listen to.
Yeah, I hope you're hiding this AirPod inside of your ear and just like turn slightly away from your family members.
When you're going out on that walk or whatever, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I will be back whenever to talk about whatever. But Sonia, is there anywhere that people can follow you for your hilarious takes on things?
Thanks. God, follow me on Twitter. I apologize in advance. At Sonia Marie Says. I'm a little ranty. Like I said, I've got an infant at home, so I'm up at all hours and just stream of consciousness tweeting.
Now, were you recently reinstated onto Twitter? Is that a thing that happened? Are you one of those?
Reinstated? Why?
Yeah, Elon.
No, because Elon Musk is loving all the problematic people back, right?
I'm back. No, I'm kidding. Can you imagine? The important thing is I didn't pay for Twitter Blue. So.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.